Hello, my name is Evan Daigle, and this is my final project for ETEC 540 on the topic of podcasts. First, I'm going to talk a little bit about the origin of podcasting. Then we'll talk about the cultural and technological impact it has had. Finally, we'll look at how it's impacted education and talk about some speculation in the future. Let's get started. The term podcasting itself was originally coined by Ben Hammersley, a journalist for The Guardian, back in 2004. In an article, he suggested this as one of the possible names for this new technology format, and I guess it kind of stuck. And even at that time, there was some discussion about the intimacy of podcasting, as well as the portability and ease of production. But we'll get to that later. First, it's important to understand the key technologies that went into making podcasting possible at all. The first critical technology for making podcasts possible was a file called MP3. This was originally created by the Moving Picture Experts Group, also known as MPEG, and it was officially released back in July of 1995, though it was in development for many years before that. The MP3 file format allowed large audio files to be compressed down to very small sizes, which was very important for the small hard drives and low internet bandwidths of the time. So MP3s provided a container for podcasts to exist in, but it also needed a delivery method. Early on, there was a technology called RSS feeds that allowed users to download podcasts, and this helped them to start gaining some popularity. But podcasting didn't really enter the mainstream until almost 10 years after the introduction of MP3s. In June of 2005, Apple added podcasts as an option to download in the iTunes store. This really helped podcasts to find more audiences and really encourage their rapid growth. So podcasting can be defined simultaneously as an audio file, like an MP3, and a series of audio programs that can be downloaded or streamed automatically through an app. According to Richard Berry from the University of Sunderland, one of the main differences between podcasting and traditional radio is that podcasting simply has fewer restrictions on content, duration, and format. The creators are free to be creative with these things, and because of their ease of creation, they also allow the listener to search for highly specific genres and topics that have a higher degree of intimacy. However, the portability and serialization of podcasts is not really new. These features have been around in the past in the forms of newspapers, magazines, etc., which have often been distributed by issue from month to month, and can be easily carried around and delivered to customers. There are two more significant features of podcasts that are much more relevant and set them apart. The first is the low entry requirement. Anyone can be a podcast producer and contribute something to the discussion and to the genre that they're interested in. The other significant feature is user control. Podcasts can be listened to just about anywhere, and users are free to listen on repeat, jump in at different points in the podcast, or even speed things up to listen a little bit faster. Podcasts also promote a relationship between creator and audience. Often the creators of podcasts are easily accessible through other avenues like social media, so the audience can communicate them. This was not the case for traditional forms of written text like magazines and newspapers, or even for traditional radio. So this user control and low bar for entry for podcasting creates an opportunity for podcasters to target a niche audience that wouldn't be economically viable in mainstream broadcasting. This suggests that podcasting can't be seen as simply an evolution of radio. They do share a medium, audio, but they often have separate audiences and purposes. According to the article, What is a Podcast? Considering Innovations in Podcasting, podcasts traditionally fall under three types: narratives, conversations, and fictions. However, people don't need to stick to these three types. Creators are free to blend and transform genres to create something unique and even experiment without real risk. And this ability to create a unique podcast or find a niche audience translates very well into education, where an instructor can create a specific podcast for a specific course to be listened to by their students. And they can do this with an extremely low cost of entry. So next, I'd like to talk a little more about the role of podcasting in education. The use of audio in education through mobile players like Apple's iPod was investigated as early as 2005, and podcasts specifically as a learning tool were investigated as early as 2006 in the article Using Podcasts as Audio Learning Objects. In this article, the authors emphasize the audio component as well as portability of podcasts for use with mobile technologies. The main advantage they identified in learning was an alternative format for those who learn better through audio or prefer the novelty. But it was a start. Additionally, in a research study by Chris Evans in 2008, they found that students find podcasts as even a more effective tool than their own textbooks and notes in helping them revise and learn. Now, this was entirely dependent on the availability of mobile technologies in the past. Back in 2008, not everyone had a mobile device. However, this has become less of an issue in modern times when everyone has a mobile phone capable of playing podcasts. And in 2024, in the article Listen Closely, Prosodic Signals in Podcast Support Learning, the authors found that audio cues such as voice tone, intonation, speed, and pitch can have an impact on listener engagement and thus comprehension, providing further evidence for the value of using podcasts in education. So, podcasts are flexible in design, allowing the listeners to use them in a variety of ways. They're easy to get into, allowing content creators to create unique and specific podcast genres and topics, and they're useful in education. But what are the limitations of podcasts? Well, like written texts, podcast audio is chronological, meaning it's sequential and the listener is meant to listen to it in order. Unlike text, audio podcasts are hard to search. There's no Control F function that allows you to easily find a topic or a word or a phrase in an audio podcast. So they are restricted in that way. And that's the reason why we often see audio podcasts accompanied by other types of media. Podcasts hosted in apps like Spotify and YouTube are often accompanied by visual imagery, some imagery that's provided by the creator, and some like waveforms that are created by the app in order to provide a visual guide for the listener. They're also often accompanied by links to social media or references or to other useful topics that are discussed in the podcast, serving as hypertext that allows the listener to explore further. In the book Writing Space, J.D. Bolter said, "Hypertext is a remediation of traditional print that creates new ways of organizing information." If that's the case, podcasting can be considered a further remediation of hypertext that allows translation of content into different semiotic modes beyond just the visual. The last thing I'd like to mention is the potential for AI algorithms in the future of podcasting. AI has the potential to give even greater flexibility to translate text between written and audio modes. For instance, learners could one day use an AI algorithm to translate a written text into an audio format, like a podcast, creating new options for learning. However, some meaning may be lost in that kind of translation. As mentioned earlier, voice tone and pitch create meaning, which may be difficult for an algorithm to successfully create. Of course, that's just speculation. Despite that, the ease of creating podcasts means that they will continue to be a useful method of learning and expression in an increasingly multimodal world of design. Thanks for listening. Just a quick note for credits. This podcast was entirely researched and created by me, Evan Daigle.